Hey, it's Loney, 700 WRW, headed into the 4th of July holiday, and that means pyrotechnics, explosives. If you live in Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, you probably set aside. I think the rule of thumb for a diamond is 3 months' salary. I think the rule for fireworks is also 3 months' salary invested into pyrotechnics, in which you'll blow up in your backyard, making big holes, smoke bombs, Roman candles, tying stuff together, pouring gasoline and rubbing alcohol on stuff, and getting liquored up and then blowing your fingers off, which is what we do every 4th of July. The good news is that your fingers and toes grow back. Unfortunately, it does tend to scare the hell out of dogs and cats and your critters as well. And Dr. Doug Hoffman is here. Doug is with Care Center Vets over in Sharonville. He is the official veterinary consultant of the Scott Sloan Show. He is our official senior veterinary correspondent on the Scott Sloan Show. Dr. Doug Hoffman, how are you, pal?
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing well. So 4th of July is here. It's not always a good holiday for pets. They freak out. And what bothers me about this is, and here's animals, and I guess this is why we control the world and they don't, is they even have they have ear lids, and we don't. Our ears are open. The noises don't seem to bother us. They actually have flaps that close over their ears. So Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, is that like a birth defect? Is that a manufacturer's fault? What is that?
No, I think that, well, they don't all fall over their ears.
That's true. So, well, I guess cats don't as much. Well, but dogs, they got dogs. Well, they got the ears and the flop. Oh, good boy. And then they get scared when the stuff goes.
Yeah, they do. And it's it is a scary time of the year. We've talked about this before. 4th of July, it's always a time to worry about pet safety.
Yeah.
It's a big, and busy time for the emergency clinic. And, hopefully everybody out there can keep their pets safe this
right,
year.
Right. But dog's sense of hearing. Are cats, their hearing is highly in tune as well. So a firecracker going off near us, not that big a deal. When it goes off near a pet, what's it sound like to them?
Well, it's a huge deal. I mean, that's the thing, is their senses are much more sensitive. Right. Their sense of smell, sense of hearing, much more sensitive actually than their sense of sight. So
really,
where ours, that's our primary sense. Mm. Animals, it tends to be their hearing and their sense of smell. So whenever you have any of this stuff like, Roman candles that are burning, mm-hmm. they have a certain smell to them. That's
right.
going to be amplified for the pets.
Okay.
The noises are going to be amplified, and they don't know what it is. We can prepare for it. They can't.
Right. So, if you're a hunting dog, you're acclimated to the sound of gunshot. It doesn't freak a dog out, right?
Yeah. I mean, and every animal can get used to something depending mm-hmm. on what they're used to doing. So
I bet the Rossies dogs are great at this. They don't even care.
Yeah.
They don't even wake up.
That's probably true.
Right. Their cats are like, yeah, I've seen all this stuff before. No, I mean, it makes sense, a lot of noise. So is it just best to keep them in the house, put them in the basement, lock them up? But isn't that going to freak them out, too, if they heard loud noises and you're not around? It's going to...
Well, the whole point is sometimes you can't do anything about the noise, but you can at least protect them. So keeping them inside, keeping them someplace where they're safe, they can't get into trouble. They're not going to, freak out and, tear up your whole house as well. That's
right.
Something if,
oh boy.
Some of these guys, if they have a worry with that, crating them for the night is not a bad idea. But I think, one of the things, too, that we haven't talked about before that I think we have to worry a little bit about with fireworks, too, is remembering that, if you're out with your dog and you are lighting off fireworks, remember that they like to fetch.
Oh, boy.
And, so be cognizant of throwing fireworks and having your dog.
That's a thing that's happened before?
It has.
Oh, Lord,
before.
That's terrible.
So, those are the type of things that people don't intuitively think about, but can get you into trouble.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, and dogs like
sticks.
We
blow off our fingers all the time.
Right.
It can happen to the
Yeah,
dogs,
I'd
too.
Imagine a dog picking up a Roman candle and running around. It's lighting off
and
shooting
then,
everybody.
And shooting everybody.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's actually kind of funny. Something else I saw, too. So, keep the pets locked up and, obviously out of the way on 4th of July, it goes without saying. A story I saw, I got to pick your brain on this one, too. Is there's an annual report out called State of Pet Health. 2.5 million dogs and about 500,000 cats were surveyed in this thing. They actually came to their houses and asked them questions. And they found that the rate of canine and feline obesity is absolutely through the roof. The good news is Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana were kind of middle of the pack on this thing. Minnesota topped the list for heaviest pets. The four states among the top six when it comes to the highest rates of human obesity: Louisiana, Alabama, Arkansas, and Mississippi, which are in the bottom six when it comes to overweight pets, believe it or not. So I guess maybe, and they can't figure out why. I know why. It's because the people there just eat their scraps. They don't give them to the dog, and that's why they're obese and the dogs are thin. It's like the dog just sits at the table looking at him going, are you going to give me some or what?
Yeah.
Sit down, dog. But you see this a lot in your practice too. I mean, we're all much bigger than we should be on the national average, but dogs and cats even more so, it sounds like.
Well, it is, and you know, obesity is a big problem in pets, and you know, it causes the same amount of problems that we get. You know, where you have the dogs that are heavier, we see orthopedic injuries like, you know, torn cruciates, one of the most common orthopedic injuries dogs get. Weight plays a big part in that. Also plays a big part in their ability to recover from it. You know, so we also see, you know, diabetes in heavier dogs. It's not necessarily the same correlation that we humans have with that, but nonetheless, it does happen. You know, and it's just like it is with people. I mean, you have to, you know, the only way that they can get heavy is if you feed them.
Right.
So, you know, in our safe, we can say, well, maybe it's out of our control. I can't stop opening up the fridge, whatever.
You know, 'cause they're so cute. They just look at it. Oh, I really want a cookie.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's one thing when you're training them. A lot of people are training pets with treats. That's how they get them to do what they want. So,
sure.
You know, you basically told them, you know, I'll give you something to eat every time you do what I say.
Sometimes that's our wives do that too. Sometimes
that's true. That's why I look like I look. But you know, it is something that, you know, they need exercise just like we do. Mm-hmm. They need to keep their weight down just like we do. And, you know, it all improves their health.
Is it largely when you talk about the obesity epidemic with pets, Dr. Doug Hoffman from Care Center Vets in Sharonville, and you're right, we provide the food. We can stuff ourselves silly because we have a opposable thumb. We go to the store, we do like dogs and cats. They're at our beck and call for this thing. Is it because of the excess, like, treats and things? Is it people food that they get? Is it a combination? Because it doesn't seem like someone's going to fill their whole bowl up with kibble, and that's the cause of this. I think it's the snacking, just like human beings.
Well, it is. And the only way they're getting snacks is if you give it to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we always tell people when, you know, and back in the day when I was in you know, private practice, you know, doing wellness checks on pets,
right.
You know, you'd have these conversations with people about, you know, your pet's overweight. What do you feed them? Well, I only give them, you know, 2 cups twice a day.
Ooh.
Well, what else do you give them? You know, and well, you know, they get a snack every. What else do you get? You know, and when you start bringing it out, you realize, yeah, they're getting 6, 7, 8 treats a day. They're
okay.
Getting snacks from the table. They're get, you know, or they don't get exercise. They don't get walked around a block, whatever. And you know, the same rules of weight loss for pets applies to us. You know, but the difference is if I tell a 30-pound dog that should be 20 pounds to lose 10 pounds, you're asking them to lose
a third of their body weight. Yeah,
that's going to take a year or two. But people go, well, I'll just drop 10 pounds like, you know, like that.
Right.
So you have to put it in perspective with pets about this. And over time, they will lose weight. They will feel better. They will be healthier. They will live longer. It's all the same correlations that we have on our side.
And once the dog starts going, you know, they can't. The joint pain, and they're miserable. There's not a lot you can do.
It is. And you know, you'll see dogs that have actually, where people have actually put them on a good diet, which, you know, a diet for a dog is essentially just limit their intake. Feed them things like green beans, cottage cheese as a snack as opposed to,
oh, really? Okay.
You know, cheese or whatever. Yeah. Those things are healthy for them. You know, the dogs like to eat something most of the time. It doesn't really matter what it is.
Right.
But it's just like kids. If you have your choice between broccoli and ice cream, what are you going to choose? So you have to choose for them. That's the luxury we have as owners
who don't have
that. Choose their food.
My wife's dumb dog eats all, like, we got some of those tall grasses, you know, the ornamental grasses. A damn dog eats those things down like a goat.
Mine does too. And then they throw it up.
Yeah. What are they doing? It's a waste of good grass.
Yeah, you know, I don't know whether
finish that?
I don't know whether it's just the texture that they like, whether, you know, there's some people say that, you know,
yeah, it's because they lack vegetables or their stomach's upset, but that's not true.
No, I mean, there's, I don't know that it's ever been proven one way or another. It's just, you know, they like to chew on it. Inevitably, they throw up because it is a GI irritant. And then you got to deal with it. Plus, they ruin the grass. So,
and well, usually they throw up inside and ruin the carpet.
Right. Exactly.
So,
yeah,
it's like double
exactly.
Ta-da! Superstar!
Right.
Dr. Doug Hoffman, Care Center Vets, holiday weekend is here. And this is a whole host of problems we want to point out for your animals, be it dog, cat, or otherwise. Certainly with the loud noises is one thing. But then, you know, we're back to what we talk about when you have, you know, Memorial Day or Thanksgiving, where we have you on to talk about the food that's laying out too, because you have big picnics, you have parties, that can get to be problematic for your animals as well.
It is, and you know, anything that you're doing out there with the food, just be really careful about it. especially if, you know, you're grilling chicken, you're doing anything with bones, any ribs, anything like that, be really careful with that. Those bones splinter when they chew. That it isn't like a, you know, the big hard steak bones. You know, these other ones, they splinter when they do it. We see a lot of foreign bodies with that. We got to go to surgery for those. Oh, those are things you want to avoid. Watch, you know, draining your, you know, I've said this before with things, watch draining your sauces or whatever into your, you know, into your yard. They will eat that stuff.
Right.
I told a story once about the dog that ate all the rocks that somebody had poured all their extra gravy on, and we spent the day pouring.
They didn't lick the gravy off the rocks.
They didn't lick it.
They ate
them.
They ate the rocks.
Awesome. You know, and the dog had a stomach full of rocks.
Very good.
But another thing that's a big deal right now is we get into the 4th of July and summer to talk about is heat.
Okay.
It's going to get, you know, muggy here. It's going up into the high 80s.
Right.
Heat stroke is a big deal with these guys, and it's something that I really want to caution everybody out there. If you're taking your dog for a walk, be very careful about how hot it is.
Yeah.
How big the dog is. Do they exercise a lot?
Mm.
If they don't, be very careful with it. Don't take your dog for a 5-mile run for the first time of the year in 90-degree
weather. Oh, yeah, not good.
These things are life-threatening problems. So
how do you know
really
if your dog or cat? Well, I mean, cats probably don't. They'll just lay around. But it's a dog's exerting themselves. How do you know if your dog's starting to get into trouble?
Well, what they'll start doing is if you're taking your dog for a walk, suddenly they want to start sitting down. They start panting, lay down, don't want to move. And a lot of people go, come on, you're just tired, let's go.
If your dog
is sitting down and not wanting to move, you got a problem. And it can be an in-shape dog. It doesn't matter. It's just like people who can get heat stroke. You can be in great shape and still have the heat get to you. So you have to be really careful about it. If you suspect it, take them to the emergency clinic. This is something that the signs of this show up hours after. The liver disease, you know, the liver failure that goes with this, the blood problem, you know, the clotting problems that they develop as a result of it. Mm-hmm. These things all happen hours after the event.
And it's unlike humans. They can't vocalize what's going on. They just act like they're sleepy, right?
No, they can't. Well, and they just, you know, they'll start vomiting. They'll start having, you know, bloody diarrhea. They'll start, you know, really just wanting to lay around. And we've seen temperatures in these dogs get upwards of 109, 110.
And wow.
When that starts happening, you're at risk of seizures.
A lot of trouble.
And,
okay, good advice. Well, make sure, you know, if you're outside and dogs want to be with you, let's say, shade and have water, right?
Plenty of water, plenty of shade.
Okay. If they have shade and water, they're outside, they should be okay,
right,
generally speaking, unless we get up into the crazy, you know, Arizona-like temperatures, which
exactly,
I don't think
yeah,
is going to happen.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, if you're really uncomfortable, your dog's really uncomfortable.
Because they're wearing a coat. It's even better too. We talked about a bunch of things. You got the real quick here. I know you, the oncology launch you guys had. You're the only one in the area doing the stereotactic oncology for dogs and cats as well.
Right.
And especially as we talked about the obesity epidemic, I'm sure that is also adding to business there as well. Unfortunately,
it is. I mean, cancer is, you know, is amazingly highly diagnosed in pets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we've talked about this before with, you know, there were options, chemo, there was radiation therapy, but, you know, it had its side effects. It had its, you know, 18 to 21 treatments. Now we're able to treat some of cancers we've never been able to treat before with just 1 to 3 treatments.
Nice.
So it has been, you know, a revolutionary cancer treatment in this area and something I hope, you know, hopefully nobody has to deal with this, but if you do, you know, there's some options.
Yeah, and that's really cool because now people from all over the region coming to Sharonville and Karis Center Vets because you have the oncology department there as well. Doug Hoffman, happy holiday. Thanks for coming in. Good seeing you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right, Doug Hoffman is the head of Karis Center Vets in Sharonville. They are the best. It's Sloney here, News Radio 700 WLW.